Little Latin Boy in Drag, Trish is not here.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening, ladies and gents, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast. We're streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I am your host, and I'm here in the studio with a different array of people. Some of the usuals aren't here today. We're going to start off with the first one.
Jay Bear.
So thank you, Jay, for joining us, as always. And we have an actual guest. It is the first guest that we've had post-pandemic in studio, and that of course is none other than artist and advocate and a little bit of everything, to be honest with you, Ricky Mastery is joining us.
Mastery.
M-E. But it's great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
This is fantastic. So we have a great show for you today. We've got a lot of things that are happening, a lot of stories. Of course, we also have some information that Ricky will be sharing with us, with some activities that will be happening in the Bridgeport area. So we're super excited to share that with you all. And how's your hearing? You good? Oh, we're going to turn you right. That's your number three. How's that? Much better. Perfect. And welcome. So why don't we start off with you, Jay? How are you? How was your weekend?
Weekend was good. Tried to do a little get together with the family on Saturday, but you know, we got poured on.
So oh, of course.
I still got to enjoy a little bit of sunlight. So it wasn't bad. Overall, it was a decent weekend.
You know, for me, like, so a lot of people are saying, oh, this isn't summer and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, we've had summer. We're getting warm weather. I mean, I've been sweating balls for the past week, but the rain is just insane. It's like every time you get an opportunity to figure out a plan, it's changing.
Yeah.
So would you say that's been your experience?
Our first weekend camping, we, like I was telling you earlier, we got rained on the entire weekend. I mean, we still had fun.
But running around with wet clothes, smelling like a wet dog and sweaty balls.
Yep, in the woods, playing with fire.
Do you guys, so I'm curious, right? Because you go camping.
Yeah.
What do you do for when you need to go to the bathroom?
There's bathrooms and showers at the campsite.
Oh, so that's not camping.
No, that's glamping.
That's glamping. Okay. Yeah, because I mean, you know, when you go camping.
But I do, you know, that's dry camping. Okay. Dry camping, that means there's no electrical hookups, no running water.
Right.
You have to pretty much fend for yourself. I've done it. Showering, you find the nearest river and you go wash your balls.
Right. So that's what
regardless
I'm saying.
Of how cold the weather is. I mean, that's just me.
True camping for me means that, you know, you're in the woods, you don't have access to anything. And when you poop, you go and pick up a couple of leaves of poison ivy and go to town.
that may happen, but
Ricky darling, what is your idea of camping?
Oh my God. Camping. I mean, I would much rather do it the way Jay does it, where there's like electricity and like, you know, actual bathrooms and showers and things like that. So you kind of get like half the experience, but you still have some half civilization in the middle of nowhere. I mean, I would be up for doing it, you know, the other way too, but I'd have to probably have very specific people with me that kind of know how to do certain things in the middle of nowhere with nothing around you.
His brother. Just say,
yeah, so, you know, 'cause I'll get lost in the woods and I would never find my way back. I'd have to put like popcorn trails and things like that.
Yeah.
His brother's like a Cub Scout leader, right? That's David.
He's a Boy Scout.
Boy Scout.
He's an assistant scoutmaster.
Oh, okay. See, I would have preferred to join the Girl Scouts, but that's just my taste.
You would have eaten all the cookies.
I would have. Trust me, there's three boxes sitting on top of my refrigerator, I think. I may not remember if I ate them yet.
Yeah, I think there's one left.
And so, but I love me some Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah. I get a double whammy with those because both of my granddaughters are Girl Scouts.
Right.
So you have to buy a box from each one.
I can't do a box from each one, so, you know, it's like $20 on each.
So not just one box. So you got to spend like $80 worth of like freaking Girl Scout cookies.
And I'm
cookies.
Like, ooh, I eat those. Ooh, those are nice. Ooh, peanut butter.
I love the Samoas and the truffle.
Trefoils.
Trefoils, yes. Those are my favorite. The sugar cookies.
Yeah, the sugar cookies are bomb. I love them.
I sit there with a glass of milk and I just dunk them and let them get really wet.
I don't like cookies, believe it or not. Just I would be bad, you know, if a girl came up to me, I wouldn't even want any of them.
Well, you can just give them the money. You don't have to buy that.
Which I have done sometimes. Yeah. They're just like, I don't want the cookies, just, you know, because somebody else was selling donuts. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to give you the amount of money that would have cost to get this. And you can give the donuts to somebody else because I don't want them.
That's crazy.
But, I mean, I've done that too, where it's something I really don't want, or, you know, right. It's not specifically what, but I want to participate with the cause, you know?
That I will always do. Yeah, but so, after a while, I was wondering,
so much food and, yeah, so much donuts and cookies you could possibly eat as fundraisers.
Right.
How's Grindr?
Grindr's great. No, I'm actually pulling up some of the stories that we're about to cover. Okay. So I've got a whole bunch of them here. So there's a lot of things happening. And first and foremost, as we said, we're going to cover some stories on the first half of the show and then talk about what Ricky's doing, the great work that Ricky's doing along with his peers in Bridgeport. So why don't we kick it off? I want to talk about a story that was first published on theadvocate.com. Or The Advocate is basically what we call it. It was published on July 15th. We're covering it today because, obviously, our last show last Monday is already passed. And so the good news is that we're getting great news from the state of Minnesota. So the governor in that state actually signed an executive order. Tim Walz Thursday signed the executive order barring state agencies or private insurers from paying for conversion therapy for minors and vulnerable adults. In a statement to the news, he said, "Our kids deserve to grow up in a state that values them for who they are, not one that tries to change them." He went on to say, "This executive order aims to protect young and vulnerable Minnesotans from a cruel and discredited practice of conversion therapy and affirm that the LGBTQ plus community is an integral part of one Minnesota. This is not the end of our work and to see this practice become a thing of the past, and we will continue to fight for love over hate every single day."
Bravo.
Which is great. So, you know, this makes it now, I believe it's the 24th state in our union that has adopted some sort of ban on conversion therapy. As you know, conversion therapy is very damaging, right? We're talking about a supposedly credited agency or a religious institution in telling you that who you are as an individual is wrong, that you're a sin, that something's wrong with you. And they employ different methods of torture, really, to pretend that they can make you into something else that you're not. And for me, that is personal because I believe that our youth, and especially members of the LGBTQ plus community, need to understand that there's nothing wrong with them. It makes them know that they're valued, that they're accepted, and potentially avoid suicide. So I wanted to throw this story out there and really talk about it a little bit of what it means for all of us. You've worked in social services in some capacity.
Yes.
What does a ruling like this in a state mean for you? What does that mean for the state?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it shows it's much more progressive than people assume it will be. For starters, you know, I love the fact that, you know, they're specific to the point as to what they're talking to and they address. And I like the way they cover the whole story.
Right.
Bravo to them. And, you know, again, not a lot of states. I mean, this should be everyone.
Right.
This should be the entire country. I don't know why it's taking so long for other states to catch the fuck up. But it happens.
The majority of them that have not passed some sort of ban on conversion therapy are, unfortunately, Republican states.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of states in the South that really don't believe that gay men, women, transgender children, non-binary have the right to exist and be who they are in this country.
Exactly. I mean,
and so...
Yeah, and I remember we kind of discussed that last time when I was up there. We discussed the kid that recently came out, and her biological grandparents, both the maternal and paternal, who are radicalistic religious, to my opinion anyway, tried to exorcise the demons out of the kids.
This poor child.
It's a 13-year-old child. It drives me so fucking... It's... To me, I mean, it makes it hard to put a sentence together without putting the word fuck every other third letter.
Get because frustrated.
Yeah, it's infuriating. Infuriating.
I agree. Ricky, what are your thoughts? If you even want to answer that question, you don't have to.
I think, you know, hearing this reminds me of the time that I, you know, when I was coming out to my father, and you know, his first thought was, you know, let's go to a priest and we can do an exorcism or something.
Right.
And I kind of had to, in whatever way I did it, you know, explain, like, listen, this is not something that's going to change or take care of or fix or whatever, you know, because it's not like there's something wrong with me.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's something that, you know, somehow, I mean, he's very old school, obviously. I mean, but it was just one of those things that's immediately where his mind went to.
Right.
Yep. You know, because this whole idea, like, you know, you're going to go to hell. Last thing I want to do is look down from heaven and see you down there in flames, you know?
God forbid, you know, you're ever in flames. But you know what?
That's just kind of, you know, what his upbringing was, what my upbringing was. I mean, I struggled with it, you know, growing up, which, you know, prevented me from even, like, coming out as early as a lot of people do now. You know, I'm seeing kids come out at, like, 11, 12, 13, and I'm just like, wow, that was unheard of when I was their age, you know, which is a great thing.
So is your father still with us?
No, he passed away about 5 years ago.
Okay. Well, my condolences to you and your family. But the question that I wanted to ask in regards, because you're basically saying that, you know, what he tried was to recommend something similar to conversion therapy.
Exactly.
How did that ever resolve? I mean, did he eventually accept you for who you were?
I mean, it pretty much got shut down as soon as I told him, you know, that's not happening and that doesn't work. So we're not going to do it.
Right.
You know, and he kind of left it alone.
Okay. And did you guys maintain a good relationship in your later years after coming out? I mean, I don't want to interrogate you.
I'm just trying to understand. If I sigh, I have to, like, you know, that means I'm just taking a moment to, like, think first before I like open my mouth. But it kind of felt like it was one of those things where, you know what, I filled you in on something that I thought was very important to me and very personal. If you don't want to know about it, we'll just go back to, you know, the version of me that you knew and you were comfortable with.
Right.
So, you know, to his dying day, we just kind of never brought it up. I never involved him in, you know, anything that I was doing. You know, this is my 11th year doing this, you know, LGBTQ themed art exhibit. And, you know, it was important to a lot of people and it was like a big deal. And it's like, I couldn't invite him. I couldn't invite my mother. You know what I mean?
Right.
I still don't. Right. I leave them out of it all.
Well, I mean, and that's okay too, right? Because if you feel that they're not going to be able to support you in the way that you need them to, then, you know, you don't need to include them or try to force them to do something that they may not want to do.
You know, and part of me just felt like, let me just keep it comfortable for them. Like, you know what, the version of me that you know and love is a different version than someone else knows, and just stick with what you know, want to know me as. Right.
And boy, do we have another version. And it is awesome. And we do love him for it. You're a very creative person. And honestly, I'm really excited that you've joined us today. And
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about what we're going to talk about later, too.
And I'm butting in a little late, but I should also say that Ricky's brothers are very supportive of him as well in all his events. The ones that I do happen to show up on, and if I happen to be around during that time, his brothers are always there. You run into one or the other. So I definitely got to, you know, that there's still that family bond and tie that you can still see that support. I mean,
we're all
there.
Puerto Rican here, so we all know that family is a big deal in our culture. You know, never mind the gay community, just the Puerto Rican culture. Right. You know, family is a big deal. Yeah. So, I mean, it's important to be accepted by them and to kind of, you know.
It's what we were raised knowing. It's basically, it's your heritage. It's what you expect from family, period. Yeah.
Okay, this is getting really heavy here. Let's
we're going to lighten it up a little bit. But anyway, congratulations to the state of Minnesota for passing, to the governor for signing such an incredible, you know, what do we call this now? Executive order. Thank
you.
You know, banning this type of practice because it is very damaging to our youth. And, you know, we've talked about it millions of times on the show, and it just makes me happy when I see progression going in the right direction. So that being said, we do have another story that I want to talk about too. And so I'm going to toss it over to you. Do you want to talk about it a little bit?
Yes. All right. Yes.
Good luck with the names.
No. So Nashville Predators prospect Luke Prokop has come out as gay, becoming the first active player under the contract to an NHL team to do so.
Not yet, though. So he technically hasn't been selected yet. If he's a prospect. If he's selected, then he would officially become the first active player that would come out in the NHL. And if you don't know what that is, it's the National Hockey League.
Thank you for translating that.
Because I saw your look. Like,
NHL, I've heard NHL, that. Yeah. Is that the hockey league or the?
Yeah.
Yep.
So we were talking about hockey. Why did I hear football before?
My
mind went south somewhere.
National
Hockey League.
We talked about balls earlier, about sweaty balls in the woods.
I think when you heard NHL, you automatically assume football.
I did.
Right.
That's right. What it is. Yeah. What's football then?
NFL.
That would make sense. Right. I only watch the halftime show when someone like Madonna and Lady Gaga's on.
Right. So. Or, you know, Beyonce and stuff like that. Yes. It's like, who builds a concert around, like, who builds a football game around a concert? That's my whole thing. Like, don't do that. That's not nice. This is exciting. And, you know, what we're seeing is a trend of
a lot more
people in sports coming out.
And mainly sports that have notoriously been known for its masculine toxicity.
Right. And so that's great. And, you know, to see people now coming out is good because, again, it's visibility. And I've always said, and I keep saying, and I will continue to say that visibility as a community will be and always will be our biggest strength. And you guys are so gay when you talk about sports. Chris, can you just enjoy your concert at Tanglewood? Yeah, Chris and Trish aren't here. Chris is in Tanglewood fighting old people, and Trish is stuck in traffic on 95.
Fighting.
But we're here.
Fighting seniors.
So this is good. And, you know, but the interesting is this. So the team is called the
Predators,
yeah. Right? And so when I read some of the headlines, I'm like, yeah, somebody really should have thought this headline through. Predators.
Yeah.
Coming out. And I'm like, yeah, predators and gay people, you know, there's some, like, they really should have thought that that line through. So that's pretty crazy, but awesome nonetheless. And I think that, you know, seeing more people come out. Again, visibility is our biggest strength. So, what do you think about, you know, some of the sports people that are coming out now and all that stuff?
I'm probably a bad person to ask that question. I really don't follow sports, but I follow enough of those, pages on like social media and things like that to see like, oh, a football player came out. Oh, a soccer player came out. And, you know, I always think it's like, you know, great to know, but you know, sometimes I make the mistake of, reading comments, depending on where the article was actually posted in. And then, you know, everyone's like, who cares? You know what? It's even worse when it comes from the people of our own community. They're like, who cares?
Yeah.
So what? Like, why is this news? And it's like, maybe you're missing out on the whole reason why they're even putting this out there.
Yeah. Right?
Because it makes, you know, maybe it doesn't mean anything to you, but it's going to mean something to somebody, especially if you connect with what that sport is and you feel like you can't play or you can't participate or you're not allowed to in some places.
The way some of you connected by seeing a Lady Gaga video at some point in your life while sitting on your titi's couch.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, you never know where that inspiration is going to come from and give you that hope and that, you know, that courage to eventually take the steps you need to take.
That's true. So congratulations to this young man for coming out. I hope that your path forward will be an easy one because, you know, coming out is a very scary thing for a lot of people. And it's okay to not come out if you don't want to. When you're ready, no one's forcing you. And we look forward for a day or to a day in where coming out doesn't even need to be a thing.
Yeah,
you can just be you.
Yeah, and again, just to kind of, I know we didn't talk a lot on the whole story, but the NHL commissioner, Gary Bettman, did thank Prokop for coming out. And he said he hoped more professional hockey players and staff members would feel comfortable enough to do the same in the future. So, not only giving him, you know, his big ups, you know, telling him good job, but also announcing, you know, anybody else within the company who feels the same way should feel safe, you know, to be able to come out and say, right, and be who you are. So that's, again, another, you know, good. I'll give them another round.
Yay!
We're good.
That's awesome. I'm
babbling.
No. So we're going to move on. We do have one more story that we want to cover before we go on break. So our next story comes all the way from North Carolina. As we know, a lot of southern states are having challenging conversations about LGBTQ youth, specifically transgender youth. And there's a lot of, you know, red states that are led by Republican governors and Republican legislatures that are passing laws or trying to or attempting to pass laws that are harming members of the trans community. And for us, you know, they are our brothers and sisters, and we have to talk about what's going on so people are aware that this is happening, so that you can reach out to your local politicians and let them know, hey, this is not cool, you know, and hopefully change the conversation, or at least try to, you know, be aware of what these states are doing. One mother is doing exactly that. This woman said, you know, this tireless mom became a lawyer in her 40s. She had already lived most of their youth, probably went to school. She literally went back to school and became a lawyer in her 40s to fight for her trans daughter's rights. And she basically said in a statement that protecting trans kids is why I get up every day and why I went through the 3 years of law school at 45 to be able to protect my child. And I commend her, you know.
That's amazing.
It says, you know, she in the story is wearing a shirt that says, you know, my shirt says protect trans kids. And she goes on to say, she goes, it's why I get up every day. And I went through all of this, you know, schooling and stuff just to make sure that my daughter has rights. You know, she believes so much in her child that she literally is now not only advocating for her child, she's advocating for a lot of trans people all over the
US. I feel a clap coming on here.
Yeah. So,
we'll, you know, make it a theme to today. Yes, you know? That was good. I mean, you know, kudos to her to have that oomph in her to be like, you know what? I don't understand this shit. Fuck it. I'm going back to school.
Right.
I gotta know what I'm talking about.
It just makes me think of, like, you know, shouldn't we be like be protecting people anyways? Like, you have to wait until it's somebody that's close to you to be like, oh, this is an important issue.
Right.
But you that's know? Normally what happens, and I think that's
probably what happened. But you know,
it sucks. But again, and you see it in politics all the time.
Absolutely,
it's never an issue until someone up in Senate or in government gets hooked onto some shit.
Or then, you know, it's never an issue until somebody gets, you know, caught tapping in a lavatory, their feet three times on the floor, trying to like pick up a police officer that's on the other side of the partition. Things happen, you know, you just never know. But this is beautiful and it's amazing. And congratulations to that mother, because, you know, more parents really need to, you know, go out of their way to protect their trans kids. It's horrible, all the laws that are trying to be passed right now and all of the restrictions and targeting that's being done towards that community. And you can see the effects immediately. Yes. You know, suicide rates in the trans community are insanely high and staggering, and, you know,
and the murder rates with them too.
Right. And it's not only here in the US, but all over. I mean, murder rates in Brazil for trans people is insanely it's horrific. It's scary. And so, you know, when you have parents like that, you know, my mother supports me in everything that I do. I would be so proud of my mom if she went back to law school just to protect my rights.
Yeah. That's badass. I think so.
It's funny when you hear like people say, what are you still fighting for? You have gay marriage. I was like, it's more than that. You know,
there's a lot more work to do, you know, a lot more work. I mean, gay marriage was one of those big things that, you know, allowed us to really get a big win. And when you think how long it took, right? I mean, one of the first states that passed civil unions was back in like 2002, 2003, somewhere around there. And then
maybe more like 2005 or so.
Right. And then to jumpstart, you know, just 10 years later, you know, that court ruling in 2015 on, you know, that same weekend where Pride was being celebrated, gave us a huge win when it comes to equal rights for gay members and members of our community. So that's just fantastic. And I think it's great. So thank you, everyone, for allowing us to cover these three stories. We'll post some information on those on our website tonight so you guys can read up on your own and become familiar. There are other stories, too, that, you know, I encourage that everyone check out, because it's always good to stay informed. And what we're going to do now is that we're going to go to break. We'll leave you with some music. And when we come back, we have our guest, Ricky Mastry, on the show. Here we go.
She was waiting by the back door, said, "Babe, we gotta leave town. Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, 'cause we gotta go now, 'cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names, yes, they're coming, just the same. Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife. But they're coming, well, they're coming down the road, yes, they're coming, truth be told. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never their land in the first place, but they're coming just the same. A knapsack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies, and they're talking so much hateful bullshit they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming, well, don't look them in the eyes, yes, they're coming, no surprise. And with so much terror in our past, how are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming. Well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never their land to sell or trade. No, don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never their land in the first place, but they're coming just the same. I'll meet you at the station where we can get on that train. Head out to the wastelands where we can change our names. 'Cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming. Just the same. Just the same. Just the same. Just the same.
All right, ladies and gents, welcome back from the break. That, of course, was Wastelands, the title track for the album, produced by Amanda Barrick, one of our previous guests, also an LGBTQ plus artist. That album debuted in July of last year, and it is available on all the major music streaming services. So make sure that you go out and support your LGBTQ plus artist. And now we're going to go back, and we've got Ricky Mastry with us, Mastry with us here in studio. I keep thinking that Mastry has an A.
I know. My name has been mispronounced so many times. Some people say Ricky Master, Ricky Mystery, Miss Ricky. You
know. Oh, Mr. Mysterious. I know. But it's Mastry?
Mastry.
So you're Puerto Rican. How do you say it in Spanish? How would you say
that in Spanish? You would just
Would it be Mastry?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So we're going to say it the right way. It's Ricky Mestre.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to say the full name, then you would say Ricardo.
Oh, Ricardo Mestre.
But nobody called us. I was like, Mom, no, why did you even call me that? You've never called me that in my entire life.
Ricardo. That's my brother's name, by the way. My youngest brother. Yeah. Arigato. All right, so we're here, and we're going to be talking about some amazing things that are happening in Bridgeport. You, along with other individuals in the city of Bridgeport, have long been doing these, like, Pride Fest, right, in Bridgeport. And I think it's amazing that you guys started this, because the city, being one of the biggest in the state of Connecticut, deserves and should have some sort of representation when it comes to LGBTQ plus celebration. Thank you so much for doing that.
You're welcome.
So why don't we talk a little bit about what you're doing in regards to some of the programming that's happening for this year's Pride Fest.
Okay, this year, we got so much going on.
I know.
That's why I have this paper in front of me to, like, you know, make sure I don't leave something out. But we do have a lot of what, you know, Bridgeport Pride has been known for, with specifically the art exhibit, because that's really where it started from. Right. You know, there really wasn't a Pride event. It started with this exhibit.
Right.
You know, and it wasn't until like 5 years later or so that, you know, we started like branching out and like adding things to it, because we were getting a good crowd. And it's like, well, they shouldn't feel like they had to leave because they saw the exhibit and it was getting crowded in the gallery. You know, let's block off the street. If we have all these people here, let's have a Pride march and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But anyways, we do have our annual art exhibit that happens. This year, we actually have over 30 artists participating, which is, right, you know, a little bit more than we usually have. Usually, on average, we have about 20. So this year, we got a lot more submissions. So maybe because of COVID, like, people had more time to create things.
And I need to get out of the house. Like, this needs to happen right away.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So you yourself are an artist, and you're a very good one, I must say. And I've had the pleasure of seeing some of your work and your pieces that have been a part of our community now for the better part of, like, oh, my God, forever. Right. Your artwork is displayed in the New Haven Pride Center.
It's currently at the Shea in Hartford.
Right. And so you have like this little traveling gig. Can we talk a little bit about that before we move on to some
Absolutely.
Of the stuff? So tell me how you work with local bars, local art galleries that support LGBTQ plus people. How do you work with them to get your art traveling? This is interesting.
Well, it was funny because most of the exhibits that I had been doing before this started was all because I was Puerto Rican. So right. I got invited to we're doing a Hispanic month, you know, exhibit. You're Puerto Rican, so, you know, you can participate in that.
Right.
I was like, well, I don't necessarily do cultural work,
right,
you know, but if the only qualification of me being Puerto Rican puts me in your exhibit, sure, I'll participate. You know,
I mean, but your work can technically be called cultural, right? Because you a lot of your work focuses on the LGBTQ plus community,
right?
But that in itself is a culture.
It wasn't at first, you know. Before I started doing this particular exhibit, it was kind of very ambiguous.
Okay.
You know, it was kind of like, yeah, there's a slight hint of it. There's a slight hint of culture. There's a slight hint of, you know, this whole urban feel of growing up in Bridgeport and that kind of a thing. So it was very mixed, and you can kind of take it very different ways,
right,
you know, depending on the viewer and what they can get from it.
Okay.
And, you know, part of what started this whole Bridgeport Pride was like me wanting to do something that felt, you know, very strong, you know, had like a very strong LGBTQ plus kind of like feel to it.
Okay.
And I, you know, the galleries that I had been involved with and the shows that I was, you know, participating in, you know, really wasn't feeling like this was a place that I can put that.
Okay.
So it was one of those things where it's like, well, if it's not happening already, I just have to make my own.
Right.
Which is why I approached, you know, the City Lights Gallery, and, you know, luckily they, you know, kind of were okay with the idea. Like, okay, I think this is something that we can do. You know, at first it was supposed to be like a one-time thing. Like, we're going to have this gay-themed art show.
Right.
You know?
What they didn't expect was the crowd that turned up for that first show.
Yes.
Right. And that blew their fucking minds. Because I went to that first show, I have to say.
Yes, let me tell you, my job used to be on top of that gallery.
Yeah.
And I would come down. They would have like their exhibit openings on like a Thursday night. And I was right upstairs. And I was like, well, I can come downstairs and check out. Maybe they get like, you know, 40, 50, 60 people or whatever. And this one brought in like, you know, over 400 people.
Yeah.
And they were not expecting that. They were not, you know, thinking that
it was like, oh shit, we struck gold. Yes.
Did they run out of liquor?
Oh, they ran out of everything had.
Well, no, actually, fortunately, we partnered up with the bar that was in the same building that they were kind of like providing the alcohol for us, and I think they kept going back and forth to like keep pouring.
We need refills.
Yeah. Well, the drink for the night was a Cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
And what do you call it? So luckily the bar that was providing it was, literally like the next door down in that building. So they were able to kind of like continue serving. I mean, of course you probably had like a few people that was like grabbing like 10 of them because it was free at that night.
Right.
You know?
Oh, well, the first night is always free, right? That's great though. And so you got an opportunity to not only be able to showcase your art, but the art of all like the local LGBTQ plus artists that wanted to display.
Well, we don't only have LGBTQ plus artists. Okay. And that was something that, I kind of suggested from the beginning. The idea was more like it didn't matter where you fell.
Right.
If you have artwork that somehow connects to what this theme is, then
bring it in.
Then bring it in or submit it. And we'll look at it.
And that also really cements the idea that even within LGBTQ plus spaces, you could still have members that are outside of our community that we would consider allies.
Yes. Right.
That's amazing.
And that's exactly what, I mean, we had one guy that his work was based on his son coming out the year before. So he made some pieces that kind of, reflected what he was going through at the time personally and tied that in with his son coming out.
Right.
So that was kind of like, a nice thing to kind of have there, and of course you had to read the little paragraph next to the artwork to kind of understand like, what am I looking at here?
Right.
Cause not everything is going to be very literal.
Is it a thing to observe a painting or something, that may be abstract or not, and try to come up with a concept of what you think the painting is before you read the little card?
Yes. That always happens because art is one of those things where, if for whatever reason you're going to be drawn to it,
right,
you're drawn to it by what it means to you.
Right.
And then if you read something after the fact and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it meant something to me before, but now I'm reading it. Sometimes it can work either way. Like now I have a better appreciation for this piece, or it's like, I liked it better with my own, perspective on it.
Do artists do that on purpose? Is that a purposeful thing to do?
Sometimes I like to do that. Okay. Like, if I'm at like an opening and someone comes up to me like, can you talk to me about this piece? What does it mean? And I would ask them like, what does it mean to you first?
Right.
I want to know what you get out of it because I don't want to tarnish what it means to you because, that might be something very personal, something special. And all of a sudden there's this piece that somehow I didn't know reflected that. And all of a sudden I'm going to say, well, it has to do with, whatever. They're like, oh, now it ruins it.
That's not quite what I was aiming for.
Not what I was thinking about. But now that I know what that's what it is.
If that's what it means to you and you want to buy it, sure. No.
That's why sometimes you got to keep your mouth shut. Like, whoa.
Absolutely.
It has to do with this. Yeah, that's what it is. You hit it right on the nail.
So Ricky happens to also be a very, very huge, like, super fan of Ricky Martin. And you've done quite a few pieces on his children that you presented to him. So you go to a lot of his events and stuff.
Right.
Can you tell me,
this is about to turn into a half hour story, so I will try to condense it to be very specific with your question.
Listen, we have all the time in the world. So, short, but we have all the time in the world, especially when the conversation and the story is something like this. So you love Ricky Martin. You're a super fan. You go out of your way to see him in whatever engagements as long as you can go,
right, of course,
and you attend. But you also did something very special, and you created a caricature or like cartoon-like painting of his children. And you
it was him with his children.
Him with his children, right. And you presented this to him at a live event that you went to see him at.
Yes.
First and foremost, let's talk a little bit about what inspired you to create that painting that you did or the art that you did. And then what was the experience like when you handed that to him?
Okay, so I think before we get into that story, which is why I'm going to try to tell this story very short. Right. prior to that whole thing even happening, I was at a book signing. Okay. He had just come out.
Oh, yes.
And he made an autobiography.
Yes.
And he had this book and he was going to different bookstores signing the book. So, of course, I was like, oh, my God, this is probably the only time I'm ever going to be able to stand next to him and get an autograph. I better get there. So, of course, I took the first train down to New York, which was like 5:30 in the morning. And we get there to the bookstore at like 7:30, and there's already like 300 or 400 people in line. I'm just like, oh, my God, it's just, you know.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, not that it's not going to happen, but it's like, oh, my God, we're here like 6 hours before he's even scheduled to be here. And there's already like, you know, this huge line. But I was like, well, you know what? I'm here. So I will stand in this line for 6 hours. Anyways, while I was in that line, there was a woman, probably like 50 people in front of me or something like that. And she had a bag with her and she crocheted some sweaters for the twins. And she was showing people like, look what I made for the boys and whatever.
Aww.
I know. You know what? But not everybody was like, oh, they were like, oh my God, how tacky, you know?
They were totally hating on her.
That was a labor of love.
Yeah,
it was.
But she was thinking out of the box.
Yes. Right. And she did.
Yeah.
And the thing was,
Rick was like, ding, ding.
That's exactly what happened. Because when her turn came, I saw her and like everybody was like, you know, they set this whole thing up like have the book, you know, the outside flap, the paper cover, you know, fold it in here so that all he has to do is open the book, sign it, fold it, give it to you, move it along.
Right.
You know, there was a whole system there that way they can like get through all these autographs and whatever. But when she went up there and she gave him these sweaters, all of a sudden it was like, oh, there's a moment happening here. There's a minute here. You know, everyone had like, you know, 10 seconds or so to like sign your book and go. And some people bought like 8 books to have more time, you know.
Very smart of them. People get creative when they want an autograph.
But her idea was like, you know, I made something to give to you and I'm going to tell you about it and, you know, whatever. And all of a sudden, you know, I mean, he's so sweet and genuine. Like, you know, whatever you see like on television and the interviews is like, that's authentic.
Right.
It's not even him like just playing the role of like, let me act interested or whatever. He's so sweet, you know, but I saw how he reacted to that.
Do you notice Rick's already drooling? Uh-huh. But continue.
Anyways, I know. I'm trying to tell the story short. Don't interrupt. So anyways, when he, a year later, he had a children's book out. So he wrote a children's book, had someone illustrate it. I was like, damn, why didn't you meet me sooner? You know, I would have illustrated that book. I wouldn't even charge you for it, you know? but I was just like, you know what? I'm going to bring something. I want to do something that I can give to him because I saw that gave her like, you know, extra 45 seconds, you know? And when I heard about this, you know, book signing for the children's book, I was like, well, let me make something. I spent like, you know, over a week drawing something, scrapping it, throwing it out, trying something else, scrapping it, you know, whatever. And it was just like on and on and on. And then it just got to a point where it was like 2 days before, I'm just like, I'm just going to have to go there and just get the autograph. And, you know, that's it.
Right.
And then I tried something else and I was just like, this is not it. All of a sudden, the night before at like 11 o'clock, it hit me. I said, let me make something that's, you know, connecting to what he's doing. He wrote a children's book.
Right.
He's got children. Let me draw a little caricature instead of like this whole like concert thing that I was like thinking about for like weeks, like which song, which outfit, whatever like that. I was like, you know what? Let me just make a sweet little picture of him reading his children's book to his children, you know, in a little cozy little atmosphere and whatever. And I did that at like 11 o'clock at night. By 1 o'clock in the morning, I finished it and I put it online.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So you started at 11 o'clock at night.
The night before.
12.
So like within 2 hours.
Within 2 hours, you created this entire thing.
Yes. But I mean, you know what? It's 2 hours that it took to make that. But that's not including the like week and a half of like things that just got like scrapped and threw out and whatever.
Right.
So,
but even at that, the amount of work you put into that and
for it to be 2 hours, that's impressive. Yeah. I mean, you created awesome little painting there for like in 2 hours.
Yes. And then I posted it on my Facebook. I posted it on my Instagram. I put it on Twitter and I like tagged into it. And then I went to sleep. By the time I woke up the next morning, it had been like shared like so many places and whatever. And I was just like, oh my God, my phone had like all these notifications.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, by the time I get there, you know, I'm in line. So, of course, this is one of those things where you have to get there like hours in advance, you know. But this time it was different. When I got there, there was like maybe like 40 people in line. So I was like, oh, this was a good bookstore to do this at. You know, the one in Times Square was like, of course, there was going to be 400 people before I got there 6 hours in advance, you know.
It's either that or people, you know, certain people may have not just been interested.
Well, this was
in
New Jersey, so I don't know if that change made a difference. But
probably. I mean, like,
I mean, ultimately, there was a long line, but they didn't come to like, well, after.
I like to consider New Jersey as like the pass through state. They call it the garden state, but really, there, I had never seen a garden in New Jersey. Have you?
If you count the dump. No,
I had, and not to shit on anybody from New Jersey, but honestly, like, it's either you're on the Garden State Parkway or you're on 95 going south, which is what they call, what's the other one? So it's the Garden State Parkway and then
Jersey Shore.
The Garden State Parkway brings you to the Jersey Shore, and then they have the other one. Anyway, it's 95, and you go south, and you just end up somewhere else. And honestly, really, I don't.
You get off at the wrong exit, you gotta go 10 miles before you find.
Whatever you do, don't get off in Camden. That's all you need to worry about. Go straight to freaking Philadelphia.
So now you got me on this story, so I feel like I want to finish it.
No, go ahead.
So, of course, you know, you get there hours in advance. So you're waiting. So, you know, I went with a friend of mine, and, you know, he's better at just, like, talking to total strangers than I am. I would have just stood there quiet for 6 hours, you know. And
was this Miggy?
Who?
Miguel?
No, actually, he lives there now, but no, that wasn't it. It was my other friend, Rob.
Okay. So anyway,
So he starts talking to these ladies that are like in front of us or whatever. Turns out, you know, they're lawyers and they follow him everywhere. They have the money to like travel and whatnot. Right. So they're like, they probably, you know, did everything already. And he's like, you know, talking with them in a way like, oh my God, you're making friends here, you know. That's, you know, foreign for me. You know, people think I'm very social, and it's true to some extent, but like I'm also very shy, which some people think is very unusual because they see me all over the place. Anyways, he was like, show them the picture that you made. And I'm like, no, you know, he's like, take it out, show them. You know, we got all this time to kill. Let's do it. I was like, all right, fine. And they're like, oh my God, I just saw this online a little while ago. And he's like, yeah, he made it. And we start talking and whatever, because of course we have all these hours. So I said, you know what, I want to, and I have like a little camera, you know, back then the cameras from your phone weren't as good, but so I would carry this little pocket kind of camera. I said, ideally, I want to be able to get like a picture of him holding it. And if I can be in the picture, that would even be better.
Right.
You know, so when we got into the building, when they finally, because the line was outside, when we got into the building, and then they came, she was like, oh my God, that's his brother at the front of the line, letting each person go by one. He knows me because I go to all these things and, you know, he's familiar with me. Let me go in front of you so that.
Oh, she was trying to cut.
No.
No, I'm messing with
you. She's totally not trying to cut. Yeah. She was like, let me help. You know, so it's almost like, let me help your dream come true. You know what I mean? So let me go in front of you so that I can talk to him when it's my turn. Well, before my turn, when I'm like next, and tell him, you know, who you are and what you would like. So when he saw her, they said hello and whatever. And you know, actually before we even got to that point, she was like, take it out of the bag. And I was like, well, now you don't have to like, now I'm going to like take it out. I'm not going to be shy about it at this point. So I took it out of the bag and she was like, when it was her turn to be next, while she was waiting for that other person to get their autograph, she was like, oh, show him the picture. And then the brother was like, oh, my God, yeah, we just saw that a little while ago. And she was like, yeah, this is the guy that drew it. And he was like, oh, my God, he loves it. I was like, oh, good. And she was like, listen, he's hoping that.
Rick was like, sploosh.
Hello.
She's like, he's hoping that he can get a picture of him with it, you know, together. And he was like, do you have a camera? I'm like, here you go.
He went prepared.
Yeah. I was prepared. So as soon as I, you know, as soon as it was my turn, that brother was like on a mission. He was like getting every corner, snapping the pictures. Telemundo's there. They're like, something's going on. Let's put our cameras up too.
Right.
You know, they're filming and not knowing what the hell is going on.
So you ended up on Telemundo
as
well.
They didn't use my clip. My clip had nothing to do with what that whole thing was, but they did some footage somewhere on like a cutting room floor of me, you know, but somebody recorded it on their phone. They put it on YouTube. So if you ever want to see it, just go on rickymestry.com and you can click on the link that says Ricky Martin and then you can see the video.
All right. So you have a website, Ricky Mastery.
I do.
Mastery. Ricardo Mestre.
No, not Ricardo.
Ricky Mestre.
Mestre.com. That's awesome. And that's a wonderful story. You know what? And
Wait, it's not done.
It's not done. Okay.
He's not done
so
yet.
You wanted me to get to this point. So he saw it.
Okay. Continue.
So then he saw it, and then he said, he was like, oh my God, I just saw this a little while ago. He said, did you make this? I said, yeah. And he was like, do you have your contact info? And I was like, no. I got it to him later, but I mean, he was so excited about it. Like, you know, he was like smiling with it and, you know, he held it up to the crowd. And I don't think anybody really knew what was happening there. They might've seen it because at that point, so many people had seen it online and he's holding it up and everyone's like cheering just because he's standing up, holding something to them. So I don't know if they were just cheering because he stood up and looked their way or
because they saw the picture. Right. So in essence, the post that you did went sort of kind of viral. Because I mean, if he saw,
I mean, I don't know what
but you probably tagged him in it, did you?
I don't know what would make something viral. How many like shares?
When a large portion of people that don't belong to 500,000,
it wasn't
personally.
Yeah, and like, then all of a sudden I was getting like friend requests from like Argentina and Australia and like
people that follow him.
I consider that to be viral, even a minimal virus.
I was a minimal viral. Maybe it was a nice viral. It felt viral for me.
It was a cold.
It was a cold.
It wasn't COVID. It was a cold.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Okay. That's great though. I'm happy for you. I think you know, I think about that story and I think about the fact that that's how things transpired and worked out for you. And it's just really awesome because there's nothing better when you're inspired by someone and when you're inspired by something to actually have that play out in a way that what inspired you gets to actually see what you produced.
Of course.
That's incredible.
I mean, there was another time that, you know, that I met him at another place and like he ends up like introducing me to like his whole management team and they're all like excited to meet me. They're like, oh my God, we love what you do. And I was like, oh my God, really?
Okay, well, that needs to...
You know, it was a nice feeling, you know? I think, you know, they love what I do. I don't think they really know what to do with me, but they're like, okay, we got you on our...
You're on our radar.
Something, yeah. Right. So it's like, if they ever figure out how they want to use me, they know exactly where to go, but... You know, but it was just a nice feeling. And it's like, how many people in the world can say, like, Ricky Martin took notice of them and their artwork and that kind of a thing? So, I mean, at the time, I was just like...
The next book? You might be illustrating the next book.
Well, I don't know.
It might not happen for 10 years.
Or a Menudo comic. Right. If he's feeling nostalgic.
You just never know.
I've been following him since
media.
So, yes. Sure.
So, okay. That's awesome.
You
amazing.
Just took it a whole different direction. I didn't think we were going to talk about Ricky Martin tonight.
But listen, you start me up,
and I'm just going to go with it. You know,
I love that story. I just love it. I think, like I said, you know, when you produce something that inspires you, and the person that inspired you gets to actually see that work. There's no better recognition than that. Even if there's no monetary compensation behind the whole thing, it's worth its weight in gold.
Right.
When someone can value what you've done.
No, and I definitely felt like it was appreciated and it was just like, you know, him.
It was genuine. It wasn't for the camera.
No, right. I mean, they weren't really rolling except for his brother, like, nap, 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 you know? Well, but I mean, between like him and his management, his dancers, you know, they'll be up on stage and they'll see me and like, you know, one of them was like, you know, spotted me. She was like, oh my God, I love your artwork. You know, like in the middle of the number. You know what I mean?
And that's incredible.
And it was. It was a very special
awesome feeling. That these, you know, women lawyers actually went out of their way to make sure that you could maximize your time and be able to present
it. And that was that's very sweet.
Do you stay in contact with them?
Of course, yes.
That's awesome.
On social media, of course. I mean, they live in like, I think they live in Washington. Or someplace
in the state of Washington or D.C.
Washington D.C. I'm sorry. Okay. No. I forget that those are two different places.
District of Columbia.
Yeah, I want to say Washington D.C., but maybe it's Jersey. Maybe they're in Jersey too.
Oh, sorry. If you know, I still say
sorry,
it's a
Donna.
Sorry, Donna.
It's still a pass-through state for me. All right. Well, listen. So, yeah, enough with Washington, D.C. Yeah. Now we're going to go back and come back to Bridgeport. Right. So let's talk a little bit about what's happening with Pride Fest this year.
Okay. So let's get right to it then.
Just to give you some dates. It's called Bridgeport Pride, and it's going to be occurring on Friday and Saturday, July 30th and July 31st.
Right. So
let's go.
On the 30th, we are going to do our annual thing, which is the exhibit. So it starts with that. So from 5:30, I mean, we say 5:30, but sometimes people are there at like 3 and 4. But we'll let them in. It just won't have any food ready yet. But Jay is like, where's the food?
I'll be here 5:10.
We would be like, where's the food?
So I mean, this says 6:30. I was like, wait a minute, what? That's a misprint. It's 5:30. I'm going to say 5:30. Sometimes I tell people to show up at 5 because whatever. Anyways, we start off with the City Lights Gallery with the exhibit. This year, like I said, we have about 30 artists, maybe I think like 32 possibly, that are exhibiting there. And they have the courtyard area. So if you're familiar with the downtown Bridgeport area, they're the same building as the Cabaret Theater. And the Cabaret Theater, if you know those long set of stairs that go up to the cabaret or down, depending on which side you come from, the cabaret is like in the middle, and there's like a courtyard area that we use for like tables and stuff like that for like different organizations or some vendors and things like that. We'll also have Tito's Bar is sponsoring us, so there'll be a Tito's booth there.
I'll be there drinking.
Well, they're free, so drink it go as you want. So we got Trevi Lounge bartenders also helping out to serve the Tito's vodka. And that will be going on. People can come into the exhibit and see the artwork and hang out in the courtyard. And then if friends come later, then they can like join them back in the gallery. And it's like an in and out kind of a thing, which is nice, which is why we started doing that whole outside thing just to kind of keep the people there. So, you know, they didn't feel like they had to leave because they saw the exhibit and it's over, you know. At 8 o'clock, there's going to be a pride march that goes around downtown Bridgeport. That will probably line up about 7:45.
8 p.m.?
8 p.m., yes.
Oh, wow.
This is a night. So this is 5:30 p.m.
right.
is when this opens. At 7:30, they may have some speakers. And then at like 7:45, they'll start lining up. Every year we have like a cop car that like, you know, clears the road for us so that we can actually walk on the street. We have this stilt walker who like follows the cop car. So we basically got the cop car, the stilt walker, and then it's just kind of like, just follow them, you know, bring your banners, bring, you know, wear your costumes, you know, whatever. Just basically, if you're there, just join the line and walk on the street with us, you know.
So it's like a big gay conga line right behind the police officer.
Yes. I mean, it's cool when they have the downtown Thursdays and they have like the concerts there. So we pass by the green and there's usually 100 people to like see whatever concert's going on.
Right.
This year we're doing it on a Friday. So we're not going to have the concert. So whoever happens to be walking around downtown Bridgeport, you know, we'll see this and we'll know we were there because, you know, we try to get like the press involved and, you know, whatever, you know, the last number of years, we always made like the cover story of the Connecticut Post, which was always special to see the next morning.
True.
But at the end of the march, they conclude in front of the Bijou Theater, which is where we'll have our variety show.
Right.
So we have about 18 or 19 different entertainers that are going to be there. You know, different drag artists, different impersonators, live singers. So just like, you know, different types of artists. That's everything is free except the Bijou Theater is going to be $15 to get in. And from there, when that's over, you know, you can either, you know, hang out at the theater for a little while longer because they do have a bar there,
mm-hmm.
or our after party is going to be at Trevi Lounge in Fairfield.
Right. So it's basically it's like you're literally going from one event to the other. And then when you're
everybody
ends up at Trevi and that sort of kind of wraps up the event.
If you're going to do the whole thing, you're going to be there from like, you know, 5:30 to 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right. So this is just Friday, right? Now, what happens on Saturday?
On Saturday, I want to say it's like noon at the Bijou Theater. Everything is happening either at the Cabaret Theater. I'm sorry. Everything's either happening at the City Lights Gallery or the Bijou Theater.
Okay.
So the Cabaret. Good God, why do I keep saying that?
Cabaret.
City Lights. You know why? Because the Cabaret Theater and the City Lights are in the same building. And I keep having to remind people, you know where the Cabaret Theater is? Well, that's where the gallery is. Just go to the top of the stairs.
Right.
So the City Lights Gallery will be open again. They'll have another little thing going on. They'll have some wine and stuff for people who couldn't make the actual, you know, grand opening of this exhibit. And then at noon at the Bijou Theater, they will have a screening of different independent films. So it'll be kind of like a film festival of different LGBTQ themed independent films.
Right. Whether small, big movies. I mean, anything.
Right. So they have the screen at the Bijou Theater to be able to like play some movies and things like that. Because the Bijou Theater, you know, back in the day, before it was called the Bijou Theater, it was an actual movie theater.
Right.
So that's going to be going on during the afternoon. So I think that starts at like noon and will go on for like a couple hours because there's one movie that I think is about an hour and a half and the other ones are probably much shorter films, but there's like a collection
like those half hour.
I think maybe short even films, like, maybe like yeah. 15-20 minutes or so. Yeah. They're like short films.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I see they have LGBTQ shorts, and then yes. one of them is actually called Disarm Hate.
Yes.
Which is great.
And so I think that has to do with like some violence.
Right.
So I don't have the whole information on that, but definitely I am looking forward to seeing all of it because I heard they were all hand selected by, you know, a panel of, you know, a juried group of some sort that, you know, thought that these were the best ones to show. So I'm looking forward to that. Now there'll be a little bit of a break. You can, if you're already downtown and you're going to do all the events, you can have dinner at one of the restaurants that are downtown.
Right.
And then, you're going to come back to the Bijou Theater because at 8 o'clock they have a little bit of a, what do you call it? I'm not sure if they're going to collaborate together or if they're going to kind of do like two separate things, but they have a group from New York City called the Golden Gays, who are basically Golden Girls impersonators.
Right.
And they have David Miyoko that does impersonations of Liberace. So I feel like somewhere they've probably been like talking to each other. So I hope that somehow they can kind of combine their acts together. Because originally, you know, the Liberace impersonator was going to kind of be like the opening act. And then the Golden Gays was going to come after. But, you know, now that we've been like talking about it for like a couple weeks, I'm hoping that somehow they like merge those two things together some way. That
can you imagine the Golden Gaze and a
Liberace come in the middle of their act
and be like, hello, that would be awesome.
I don't know if that's what's going to happen, but you know, as far as I know, the original idea was, you know, Liberace was going to be the opening act and he was going to, you know, perform some songs. He's got his grand piano and all that kind of a thing. And then they were going to change the set around for the Golden Gaze.
That's amazing. So
and then go to Trevi Lounge afterwards.
And of course, right. Or you can.
Or wherever you want to go. Yeah, wherever you want to go. So
one thing I wanted to point out too, that they're also doing between the hours of 6 p.m. and 7:30 at work, wine reception is going to be happening at City Lights. So if you want to, if you're into wine and you want to, you know, stop by and enjoy a nice little glass with individuals, you can do that. Is there a website where people can go and get a rundown of the actual events that are happening?
You're going to want to go to citylightsgallery.com. Let me just make sure I'm saying that right. It must be somewhere on this.
Yes.
Well, City actually, for what's happening at the Bijou, you can go to bijoutheaterct.net. I said neck. Net. And then for the City Lights, you go to City Lights Gallery.
City.
You gave me too many of these truly.
Oh, sorry.
citylightsgallery.org.
That's
CITYLIGHTS. It's multiple lights. Gallery.org.
So, that's amazing. And so if you're in the Connecticut area, or even if you're in New York, you want to come up and, you know, and spend some time and celebrate Pride with us.
Or Jersey.
Or Jersey, if you just want to just drive right through the state.
You have 2 weeks to fly down from Washington, D.C.
Right. Or the state of Washington, whichever one it is. Definitely come and join and check it out. Ricky, I'm super excited. I'm very proud of the work that you've done to encourage this type of activity in one of our biggest cities that, unfortunately, you know, tends to be a little bit hard.
Yes. And that was part of the problem starting it, because there was this idea like that might not be the best place to put it.
Right.
You know, but I think in the end it was, you know, the perfect place to put it.
Right.
You know,
I think it's great. But, you know, again, it wouldn't happen if there weren't passionate people behind driving the efforts to bring something like this into an urban city that really lacked representation when it came from our community.
Thank you
to you and everyone who's been organizing that. And we'll
I have to give a quick shout out to Suzanne Kachmar from the City Lights Gallery, who, you know, took this whole idea and, you know, agreed to like have me, you know, make sure that these kind of things do happen every year. And Dolores Agache, who is our host for our variety show, and she's been instrumental to getting this whole thing together as well. So that's thank you to both of you. Couldn't do it without you.
So we'll take all the information that's going on, obviously, in the city of Bridgeport over the course of these 2 days. Again, it's the 30th and 31st, so it's a Friday and Saturday. Most of us are already out of work. And if you want to look, you know, something nice and fun to do, definitely you can check this out. We'll have a copy of this flyer along with all that information on tonight's post as well. And we'll post it on our social media for you guys to help you guys out with the event.
Thank you.
And that's awesome. Ricky, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So we're going to now head over and start wrapping things up and bringing things to a close.
So soon.
I know. You know, time flies when you're on Prozac.
Yes, it does.
I say that all the time.
Yep.
So two things. Chris couldn't join us today. Nick got stuck in traffic. I think I mentioned that earlier, but I wanted to make sure that you guys understood why none of them were in the studio. We haven't fought or anything. Well, Trish and I fight.
We didn't take
time,
over.
Though. Right. That's oh. It's the takeover of the Puerto Rican.
I'm the new host.
Yeah.
So
Tommy won't be here next week.
Right.
Actually, I will not be here next week.
Where's she going?
I will be in
camping.
Punta Cana, Dominican Republic.
Oh, he's going to be in a nice warm in place.
All inclusive.
Well, I hope it rains.
I don't care because she's nasty. No more truly. For her.
I know. Oh, Lord have mercy.
She's bad. What's in
all right, so I'm going to take Mama Kim because, you know, Trish is not here. Do you want to do it on the stage?
Yes.
All right, so here we go. Here's Mama Kim's minute. Fairy dust, fairy dust, fairy dust. All right, here's Mama Kim's minute. Lindsey Graham swears he'll go to war to defend Chick-fil-A from Catholic students. Number two, new trading cards will feature for the first time transgender athletes. And number three, Netflix. Oh, that's a hard word. Netflix documentary by Ryan Murphy goes deep on gay conversion therapy and that movement. So those are the three top stories that we thought would be amazing for you guys to read as part of Mama Kim's Minute. We'll have those posted on tonight's episode notes. So make sure that you check them out and read them for yourself. They're really good reads. And now we're going to move it over to Jay for On This Day in Gay History. Jay?
Thank you. And on this day in gay history, where Metroline, well, what?
When? Metroline.
We're all just mispronouncing things here. Yeah.
When?
When? July 19th, 1986.
Where?
North Carolina.
Go
the
for it.
Metrolina AIDS Project is formed after 2 years of meetings with local health care providers and others to develop services for people living with HIV and AIDS.
That's amazing. And, yeah. You know, as we know, the 80s was really hard for members of our community that suffered or were afflicted with one having HIV and then, you know, later dying because there was no treatments at that time. And so seeing organizations really come together and really push against that narrative that existed at the time, yep, from a government perspective or the lack of funding, et cetera, it's always good to know that, you know, there were still people doing and fighting the good fight.
And a lot of good of these organizations, especially the HIV organizations. I know, you know, APNH in New Haven,
right,
also started at the basement of Partners.
Right.
So, really?
So, yeah, that's where they were. That's where they began. They used to meet, wow, in the basement of Partners. So
who knew?
a lot of these organizations really, you know, they really went to, you know, to ready to fight and get things done. And you don't provide me with a space and we'll find one. And by God, they did, you know, and some places started, you know,
right,
like they say, some businesses started out of a garage. So
right,
you have the right mindset for it. I think it's always a plus.
That's why it's important to really support your local LGBTQ spaces.
Yes.
Granted, we today can go into a lot of different spaces now that aren't necessarily gay, but it's important to still support your community spaces because those are typically the only spaces where you can go and rent something or rent a room or do an event that is supported.
Some places will donate it, you know,
right,
for the cause. They don't have to be part of the, you know, an ally is an ally, you know, just waiting to be asked.
Mm. Well, if that's how we're going to put it, if we're waiting to be asked, well, let me start asking. I need to get laid. So let's make that happen.
It's been 84 years.
Right? Seriously, as I throw that stone into the ocean. All right. Well, ladies and gents, I would like to thank you all for joining us. Make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your web browser or your device as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon. Patreon allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a monetary donation, which we collect monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. So I'm going to toss it over to you.
Let's hope I don't screw this up. Mm. And next week, we welcome Maria Conner. Connor?
Sorry. Yeah, we'll say Connor.
To discuss their book.
They were putting mispronouncing my name, so.
Yeah. To discuss their book, Girl Shock.
Right. So I'm excited about that. We're supposed to get a copy. Hopefully it arrives soon so that we can start reading some of the book, me and my micronaps, because I read a chapter and I have to take a nap. It's bad. It's bad.
We'll get the audio version.
I am not a reader, right? So if they have an audio version, maybe I'll pick that up as well. So, all right. Well,
thank you, Ricky, for joining us today.
Yeah, it was great. Like I said, you know, it was a long time coming, and it's about time that someone as artistic as you had joined us here and said,
well, you know, I'm hard to get a hold of, so that's why it took 11 years.
She's super busy. She keeps saying 11 years, but we've only been recording for 4.5. Yeah, sure.
It took 4.5 years.
So typically, this is the point in time where I would say, and now here's Nick to remind us, you know, with a reminder for all of our bottoms out there who want to keep their buttholes on point, but you know, he's not here. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Future Method. You can get the Future Method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing your chances for injury and or STDs. The first of its kind doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. You can visit futuremethod.com to purchase your life-changing bum cleanser. This cleanser is also developed by the great Dr. Evan Goldstein, which joins us on the show every month. And so we're excited to tell you that, you know, it works. You know, if you're going to get your butthole pounded, make sure it's clean. And with that, Jay?
I guess we will put a ring on it today.
A ring?
Yes.
No rubbers?
No rubbers today.
Lord have mercy. All right. Go for it.
Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under audio podcast. It is also available as a free download on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces. Not really.
Nick can't announce, so you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at Gay Talk 20, email gaytalk2.0@gaytalk20.com.
That's a lot of 20s. I wish they were real dollar bills, y'all.
Eventually.
Well, guys, if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, suggest topics, ask a question to the cast or an individual host. And you can also call us. Our phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And Ricky?
Tommy?
You want to say anything? I thought you were going to say something.
You looked at me. So, I mean, I can probably give like a little concluding statement of, you know, hope everyone can join us on the 30th and the 31st for Greater Bridgeport Pride.
Okay. And so before we let you go, why don't you tell us how people can get a hold of you?
Well, I'm on Facebook.
Like literally like whore yourself out.
Well, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, RickyMestry.com, which has a link to message me there. My phone number is
is attached, right? Do you have an OnlyFans?
I don't.
Oh, nasty.
Eventually.
Everybody's my fan, so.
That is true. This bitch is one popular person in the state.
She's like walking with the mayor.
Right, pretty much. She knows everybody.
Especially in Bridgeport.
No, they know me.
All right, guys. Well, listen, don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. And you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, that is our show. We would like to thank you all for joining us. And y'all have a good night. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.